The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of Wrestling with Jonas. A little bit low tech. I don't think I've ever done an interview in a car before. Usually I'm in a studio or a venue, but I'm with Dirty Dango. Dango, how you doing?
Good. I think the last time I was interviewed in a car was by a police officer. So
that's all right. We just sat in the parking lot to the hotel where you stayed.
You mean the haunted mansion?
Well, was it haunted? Did you see any ghosts?
I heard some weird stuff last night. I don't know if it was some drunk patrons or ghouly ghosts from the 1800s, but something was creaking in the middle of the night. Actually, I left my phone in your car last night.
This is twice I've been back to this haunted mansion in the space of an hour to wake Dango up this morning to give him his phone. He was mightily relieved. Yeah. But so we met yesterday, Heathrow Airport, picked you up, took you all the way to the southwest, you was one of our featured stars at Immortal Wrestling last night. How has your 24 hours in the UK been so far?
It's been great. You know, the weather was actually really cold yesterday when we landed. I was surprised how cold it was. It reminded me of Maine, where I'm from. But, no, the venue was great. The kids are great. We did a seminar before the show, and we had a good turnout. And the kids over here are always really receptive and really excited to learn and get some education from an old washed up guy like myself. So it was good. It was great.
Washed up. What are you on about? You're on top form last night. And in fact, you were telling me on the journey back to the hotel that you seem to be enjoying wrestling more than ever nowadays and having some of the best matches you've had in a long time because you felt so restricted in WWE. But tell us about this kind of fresh lease of life that you're finding on the indies.
Yeah, you know, I think when I was younger, I was so worried about messing up all the time, and I kind of put a lot of a lot of weight on my shoulders, and I was really hard on myself, which you kind of do when you're trying to make it.
Yeah.
I think now, kind of, you know, being 40 years old and kind of my career, you know, maybe winding down a little bit, I don't think I put as much stress on myself about if I'm going to blow a spot or two out there, you know, and I think it kind of takes the weight off your shoulders and you don't put as much stress on yourself. So I think you have more freedom as a performer to go out there and just relax and enjoy it. But you know, that's the name of the game when you're in that machine is there's a lot of money on the line. You know, the company's got a lot of, money invested in you. So there's a lot of stress for wrestling at a local Legion Hall like last night.
Yeah.
Obviously the pressure is not quite as high. So it can be more just the fun of pro wrestling, kind of like why you got into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy you wrestled last night, Tate Mayfair's one of the top UK talents, and you two had a show-stealing match in there. You say that, you know, you're winding down, but I think you're winding up. That match was awesome, and the fans really bought into everything. The fans were red hot last night from top to bottom for all the matches, but your match in particular.
Yeah, no, the crowd's always great over here in the UK. You know, they're always excited, especially a guy like me that was on TV for a little while. Yeah. So, they always really appreciate. They're usually a really educated crowd. But the kid I wrestled last night, Tate, he's real good talent. He's got a real bright future ahead of him. I think he was in NXT. He did some work with NXT.
He did a couple of matches for NXT UK. Like I say, wrestles regularly for the top promotions around the UK and doing very well. And we was happy to have him as part of Immortal Wrestling last night. And you two put on an excellent match. He did have to resort to using the brass knucks, unfortunately.
Yeah, the old dastardly heel. But the old villain. The thing I like about him is he can cut a good promo, which is important because I think sometimes on the indie level, we don't get a big opportunity to speak a lot, you know, cause, it's not a lot of shows aren't produced for television. Yeah. So you're not getting a lot of mic time, but the kid last night, he seemed really comfortable speaking on the mic and portraying a character, which makes my job easier as a babyface.
Yeah.
If you can go out there and not be afraid to make a fool of yourself.
Absolutely. So, for the last year, you've been performing for Impact Wrestling.
Yes. TNA, sorry, Scott.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this in 2024, it's TNA, but it's still Impact in 2023. You've just signed another year extension,
yes,
so you're going to be there until December 2024. So congratulations.
Yep.
How's your journey been with Impact TNA so far, Dango?
It's been great, man. I'm good friends with management, Tommy Dreamer, Gail, Scott DeMore's a great guy, and the whole locker room. I felt really comfortable walking into. It's a lot of guys that I've worked with for years in the past. Rhino, Heath, Brian Myers, Cardona was there for a minute when I was there. Obviously, Dreamer, Alex Shelley.
Yeah.
I think that the general consensus is TNA locker room is just everyone that I talk to about TNA is just. Man, the locker room's really cool over there. I'm like, yeah, it's just real laid back. Everyone's real chill. And at this stage in the game for me, if I'm going to fly out to go to work, I want to be able to walk into a locker room that's fun to be around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I've been doing this so long, it's the last thing I want to do is fly into a town and just be around a bunch of guys I don't really click with. So, you know, every couple of weeks when we do TV, I'm always excited to get there and kind of bus balls with the boys.
I say Impact's doing some good stuff, putting on some good shows, for sure. One thing that surprised me when we were speaking yesterday was you said you were in the WWE system for 15 years.
Yeah.
So, man,
14, 15 years, yeah.
Man and boy then, basically. And I think, you know, I said that I first became a fan of you when we had the weekly TV show NXT UK, when you were Johnny Curtis and the whole Derek Batemans of this world and various others. Any fond memories of that time going from FCW to NXT and being on TV for the first time?
Yeah, kind of like what we're talking about now, doing the indies, there's not that much pressure on me. That show, NXT, was a quasi reality show,
yes,
where it was the first few seasons, you know, it was a challenge show, and they were doing obstacle courses and hot dog eating contests or whatever. And then that show kind of morphed into,
it's a bit more of a reality show at points, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it kind of morphed into, I think they didn't, it was NXT Redemption, so
yeah.
I think they probably had a TV deal in place with overseas markets,
yeah,
so they didn't really probably know what to do with it,
yeah,
so they kind of just didn't, it was kind of just a filler show, so they didn't really micromanage the promos and stuff. So when EC3, myself, and Maxine, Caitlin, there's a bunch of great the Usos,
oh,
were on that show,
yeah.
TJ Wilson, Brian Myers was on the show, but you know, they didn't quite micromanage it too much, so when I could do promos, I didn't have to remember a script verbatim, which is really good for me because I can't. So it kind of gave the talent a little freedom just to kind of go out there and create,
yeah,
which I'm you know, that's right up my alley,
yeah,
is just kind of going out there and feeling it and kind of, you know, talking on the fly. So I think that's when the best, your best work comes out, is when you're not really trying to remember every word they write for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a fun time in my career. And it's funny because people still come up to me and be like, man, I love that show you were on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, you got that show over
like,
here?
Yeah. It's 10 years ago.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You were surprised because it didn't really air over in the States, or it was kind of hidden. But it did.
Like on AM radio in America.
Did air over here.
Yeah.
I mean, just a few kind of key points in your career, because I know we got to get off to your next, signing.
Mm-hmm.
But making your main roster debut at WrestleMania under a new character against Chris Jericho and going over. Can you still believe that actually happened? Bit of a surreal experience.
Yeah, man, I was such a fan of Chris. I remember I was in the business, just got into the business when Chris debuted in WWF in probably 99, was it, or 98?
Yeah, 99.
And the guys I was traveling up and down the roads with, I remember we had a show that weekend, and Chris probably debuted on a Monday, I assume. And I remember watching that recorded Raw back and us being all jazzed up about it and just thought it was so cool. Because we were all fans of Chris and WCW because we appreciated what he was doing, yeah. You know, because he was obviously being overlooked. And he was going out there kind of like what, I'm not comparing myself to Chris, but NXT Redemption, where no one was really paying attention to the promo, so you could kind of have that freedom to go out there and just, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek have fun, you know, and that's what Chris was doing in WCW, and he really stood out of that. I guess he was in the cruiserweight division at the time, but that really made him stand out was his personality and his promos. So, I mean, you know, getting, you know, my biggest thing is I just wanted him to respect me, and you know, I just didn't want to let him down because I looked up to him so much as a performer. But honestly, I was comfortable with the match prior. The most nerve-wracking aspect of that whole thing was remembering the dance routine for me. I remember being really stressed out about that. The whole dancing thing for me was really hard.
Pressure about stepping out in front of 70,000 people. Well, no, it's the dancing routine that you're most stressed about.
I mean, I knew once we get in the ring, I'm in there with Chris. So, I mean,
yeah, I'm joking.
And it's not like it was a super difficult match. It was just, you know, it was a little schmoz match. It was like 6 minutes, but the freaking dance routine had me really shook, man. I was really like, fuck. Because, you know, I've been wrestling at that time for, I don't know, 12, 14, I don't know, years. So I was comfortable in the ring, but the dancing thing was 2, 3, 4 months new to me. So imagine being in there, you know, only wrestling for 4 months and then trying to do a wrestling scene in front of 75,000 people and, you know, millions watching at home. So, I remember being really nervous about trying to remember that dance routine. But we got through it. Luckily, all the girls covered for me, and Chris and I had a good one that night. It was fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think on behalf of all of your fans throughout your many years, you know, we wish that they had done more with you in your singles career. But I think another standout part in your career was you teaming with Tyler Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Breezango.
Yeah.
And that was another missed opportunity, I think, where they should have done more with you. And I think you were used, you know, more as a comedy act. Unfortunately, you did have your bite at the cherry. I think it was against the Usos.
Yeah.
And I remember Breeze being dressed as a janitor or something. And I mean, that was really good fun. And I was biting on everything. And I think we thought you were going to walk away with that one. But your partnership with Breeze, I know you're still good friends. You still tag with him on the indies. But that was a good time.
It was a great time. Yeah. We, I think we were, it was around 2015 or 16 and they were cleaning house. They were making cuts. And I think we were kind of on our way out. And, we were both singles at the time.
Yeah.
We weren't a tag team and Vince kind of threw us together as a, all right, maybe we can get a little bit more equity out of these two talent. And, they put us together. We started doing a couple things and then we weren't really doing much. And, I got injured. I hurt my knee and Breeze and I were like, I remember him like calling me or texting me like, dude, if we're going to get fired, at least let's say we did absolutely everything we could.
Yeah.
We can hang our hats knowing that, you know, they can't say, well, you didn't pitch us any ideas, blah, 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 blah. So we just started cutting promos backstage with the .com boys. Dustin was a great guy and, still is. And, so we just started doing backstage promos. We would grab a guy like, you know, a guy with a microphone or, you know, a cell phone or whatever they had at the time, a camera. And be like,
oh, those skits that involved the Ascension as well.
Yeah, so that was really funny. The whole Fashion Files thing started from us just doing backstage promos just because we weren't booked. And then it started getting a little social media traction and it got into the production meeting that, you know, these guys are doing these freaking promos and eventually got on to the show. And then I think we got like almost a year run out of doing the Fashion Files. So, if you're not on the show, I guess it's a good, tip is just instead of complaining on social media, just,
make the most of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Breeze is really proactive in that aspect. So it's easy to get frustrated and just kind of, stew backstage. Yeah. But, I think we kind of knew we were on our way out. So we're like, well, let's just have some fun. Yeah. So from 2000, I guess that was 16 or 17, we had a whole nother 4 or 5 year extension to our career.
Yeah.
In WWE. So it's just like anything. You play a role, an act. You can only do it for so long. Yeah. So it's kind of up to you. You know, they came up with an idea for me for Fandango. That doesn't happen a lot. So once that act, that shtick is done, you kind of have to think, what's the next thing you're going to do?
Yeah.
So you can't just rely on the writing team to come up with a new gimmick for you.
That's right.
So guys like Edge and Jericho and...
That's it, Taker.
They're always thinking,
yeah,
what can I do next to stay fresh? So
there we go.
That's just if any young talents watching out there, you can get over with what you're doing now, but it's not going to last forever, so you gotta have to think, how can I evolve this to stay fresh, because no one wants to see the same exact shtick over and over and over again. So that was a good lesson for us to learn too back then.
There we go.
Yeah.
But on that note, I want to thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure spending the last 24 hours in your company.
Yeah.
Great show, great match last night. And Dirty Dango, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.